Hello, welcome, greetings, felicitations. Hope you're not buried by snow. This is Gary Rogowski for Splinters. Thank you for joining me. Today's chat is a reminiscence. It's called My First Shop. That was some time ago. It was a glorious, tiny space. And I can relive my entire woodworking life by recalling the shops in my past. I am on my sixth one now. With great accuracy, can I see the six of them that I furnished for myself and for my quirks, my tools and sawdust, and for my wits, half, dim, and knit. My first woodworking space I carved out of the wilderness of my vast ignorance at my scientist friend's house. Joel tinkered in his garage with a metal lathe, and I didn't want to do metal. That didn't appeal to me. But he did let me build a bench in this space made of 2x4s and plywood that I attached to the inside wall of this garage. I was so proud of my bench, I got up and stood on it and jumped up and down with my steel-toed boots to see if it would survive. I was just so tickled by the whole idea. Such a big smile beamed from me for the simple fact that I had actually built something. I was so new to this world. Brief note, I currently use different, if equally rigorous, standards for testing my work now. Joel moved some months later to become an astronomer in Hawaii. I lost access to the garage, but my sweetie and I, Jane, inherited his tiny house and its basement space, my first shop. This little house was built as an old style, I think, Portland servants' quarters with three small rooms in it in a closely packed railroad neighborhood. Out of the kitchen window, you could touch the neighbor's house. From the yards close by, we could hear the rail cars smash into one another like great coupling beasts in the night. My classically trained ear. This could have been the sound of some stumbling, sightless god blinded by Odin for their hubris. Great Odin's beard, you chose to do what with your life? You dared turn from tradition, from your training, from your family and their careful tutoring to tinker around with tools, to toy with craft, to travel this unknown path as your life? You're better than this. He was rather noisy, I must point out. Those voices, the sounds from the rail yards didn't bother me. A glass-enclosed front porch faced to the sunset over the West Hills. There were front steps, but also a stairway that led down to the basement. One turn and you descended into the half-buried room with a small north-facing window. And for ventilation, perhaps for deliveries, it remained a mystery to us why it existed. There was a kitchen cabinet door that opened, and if one were limber enough, let you crawl up and through from the basement just to the left of the kitchen sink. Yeah, this basement shop was so small that I never even bothered to measure it. Maybe it stretched to 10 foot by 15 foot. Behind a short wall sat the giant octopus furnace that warmed us. There was a sink, a washing machine, and Joel's old office desk where I tried to design my first pieces of furniture. A beautiful wooden rack sat down there that I turned into wood storage. And I bought Joel's grinder from him, and I put it next to the octopus to teach myself how to hollow grind a chisel or a plain iron. Oh, goodness, those were long hours training myself. And I spent 4 years in that basement with my few woodworking books and a burning desire to learn something other than the backbiting world of academics. What's that statement about college politics? The fights are so large because the stakes are so small. I wanted to avoid that. I wanted to skip that. This world of woodworking grew larger and more challenging with each new technique I learned. My apprenticeship tied itself to a broad lack of patience, as it was slow going, being self-taught, but it was exhilarating at the same time. Now, I could agree with Ben Johnson that the self-taught student has only a fool for a master, but my finances permitted no further schooling, and the mentors I could find locally were more interested in profits than benefits. Read Thoreau on profits. A good walk in the woods offers no profit, but benefits the soul immeasurably. The worker straight from a walk returns to the bench refreshed, rejuvenated and ready. The bench, I think, can offer both small profits and large benefits. What I discovered down those stairs was a love for shaping wood, putting my hands on tools, and getting to build things that I had imagined. I also became, and this was a gift, a very skilled user of swear words. Ah, what opportunities I presented to myself for this rich vocabulary to develop. But even as I made my mistakes, even then I would pinch myself and say, look at what you're doing. Can you imagine this? Could you have imagined this a couple of years ago? It was like nothing I'd ever tried before. I wasn't shackled to a tome. I wasn't stuck in a library. I wasn't leaning on a shovel or studying law. This was work that made me labor both mentally and physically. It was hard in both areas. It caused me to remember the beauty of geometry and forced me to think about quality. Without regard for critics and their fatuous statements, I was making my own way in the world. Nothing is more exciting than that. What it felt like, what it turned out to be, was the start of an immense journey. And here my literary training aided me. This is an excerpt from a poem called Ithaca by C.P. Cavafy that I found back then. Keep Ithaca always in your mind. Arriving there is what you're destined for. But don't hurry the journey at all. Better if it lasts for years. So you're old by the time you reach the island, wealthy with all you've gained on the way, not expecting Ithaca to make you rich. What good fortune and hard times ensued from my stepping into that first basement shop. I got lucky when I stumbled into that world. I still feel that way. It has never let me down, except for the fortune part of a fortune. Oh, well, that's still elusive and perhaps illusive. Just a dream. Fortune has been a tardy mistress, but the benefit has reaped innumerable dividends each day and to this one. My first shop and all the others after it resembled the worker. It projected my personality out into the world so anyone could walk in and smell the aroma I bathed in, sense the excitement of the ideas that surrounded me, and marvel at the volume of shapes that decorated my walls and floor. How, they might have wondered, did I find anything at all in this jungle of tools and templates and wood? Some days I marvel I can find anything in my shop, and yet it is said, isn't it, that a marvelously cluttered desk or bench indicates a superior intelligence? That's what I tell myself. Well, a woodworking shop does take on the personality of its maker. It is a calling card like no print shop can ever duplicate. It is always open for business, closed to rubberneckers, and the one place where I feel comfortable in an insane world. I learned and designed and delivered what I could out of that first small space I occupied. Down there, I taught myself how to make large pieces of wood into precious smaller ones. Down there, I worked on my stance in the world. Down there, I tried, as I still try, to learn forgiveness. Get thee to a bench. The benefits will grow with your practice. When I spent time down in that space, I wondered what lay ahead. I didn't know what the future would look like. I did know that I had surprised the hell out of myself choosing this course rather than a more dependable career with schooling and more degrees. But I found out that working with your hands in this culture is the road to riches of a different kind, riches of the internal, not external sort. In this world of capitalism and the quick, the disposable, I chose to do something that I thought might last, and not just pieces that would last my lifetime, but would last beyond my lifetime. I consider my teaching in much the same light, as a way of passing this knowledge on to others who will live on while I go. And it's a gift to me and to them. So I want to point out, we have the online mastery program running now. We have three groups running, a first year, second year, and a graduate group. working on chair design has been great fun. But I only hold those graduate level classes every few years. Got to get through the online mastery program, though, to get to those. I will be teaching in person this summer. I'll be at Penland School of Crafts in North Carolina, last day of May and into June for 2 weeks, doing a session on inlay. It's going to be great fun. Inlay Magic, it's called. We're going to be doing lots of fun designs, opening up a whole world for folks. And then at the end of summer, August into September, I'll be at the Mark Adams School in Indiana, building a bookcase and also making a hand plane, a 2-day class on building your own high angle wooden block plane. Really fun. Opens up a whole new world about hand planing. So that'll be in Indiana. Check out markadams.com. Check out penland.org. Thank you very much for listening. I really do appreciate your stopping by and listening to what I have to say and supporting the studio. Please check out the website, northwestwoodworking.com. And if you want to support us, at coffee.com. And please take a look at my Substack feed, garyrogowski.substack. Appreciate that. All right. Take care. Adios.